morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Morning Reload. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Monday. They all had one job, just one down here in Cheyenne. If they only did that one thing, we would all consider it at least a moderate success. It's spelled out in the Wyoming Constitution. Every other year, our legislators are to meet down here in the Capitol and pass a budget. Now, they can absolutely do other stuff, and certainly there are other matters that require their attention, but first on the list is to pass a budget. Admittedly, the state's budget is sprawling and does require a lot of work. In every other year, at least as long as I've been watching them, they've pretty much got that locked down in the first 10 days. But evidently, that's too tall of an order for Speaker of the House Redcoat Albert Sommers. Well, the truth is, just about everything is too tall for him. It's true, he did spend a lot of time allowing his minions to break Wyoming law in the Speaker Pro Tem's office, which, I'm sure, took up a considerable amount of his time. Had he singular focus on passing a budget, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in right now. Just about every legislator that I've spoken to thinks that we're going to have a special session to pass the budget. Now, remember, they only had one job coming down here, and now they're telling us they need more time. The truth is, they don't need more time to pass a budget. They need more time to argue with the Senate as to why they want to spend $1.129 billion more than the Senate does. Here's how the whole thing is supposed to work. After each chamber passes a budget, then they get together in what's called a joint conference committee and come to a compromise. A compromise, loosely defined, is an agreement between two parties that neither is happy with. But their starting point for negotiation was a difference of $1.129 billion. The House of Representatives, arguably, and in my opinion, definitely, the most liberal assemblage of legislators in Wyoming's history. There is absolutely no doubt that Albert Sommers is the most liberal speaker Wyoming has ever seen, and that's saying something, considering that Steve Harshman spent two terms as the Speaker of the House. As is always the case with liberalism, it creates a mess out of everything. Without a doubt, Redcoat Albert Sommers would love to blame his inadequacies and his absolute ineptitude on the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, but that's not possible, because 31 is greater than 26. Well, what I'm referring to is there are 31 members of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives that are on the side of Albert Sommers, that want to spend us into oblivion. And there are only 26 members that are more conservative in the House that voted pretty much against every spending measure that Albert brought forward. So, Albert Sommers could do and pass everything that he wanted, except, evidently, the budget. Everything you're seeing right now is an absolute result of Albert Sommers' failed leadership. Poop runs downhill, pal, and you, sir, are at the top. Anyhow, they've had 20 days to pass a budget and whatever else that they've wanted to get done, and they still can't do it. And so, all of our legislators down here are thinking that we're going to have a special session to do what we all sent them down here to do in the first place. So the long and the short of this is, don't buy into the narrative that it is those evil obstructionist conservatives that are stopping everything. It's not possible for them to do that. The Wyoming left, or as they like to call themselves, the Wyoming caucus, could have passed any budget that they wanted, but what they didn't count on was the Wyoming Senate being way more conservative than they are. So now they have to convince the Senate contingent of the Joint Conference Committee, which is arguably way more conservative than has definitely ever been assembled in at least the last 10 years, to spend over $500 million more just to meet them in the middle. But of course, as Lloyd Larson says, the House is way smarter than the Senate, so they'll win this one. Listen to the chamber laugh when he finishes saying this.
And we expect the committee to work really hard to hold. There's two bodies for a reason, and we have twice as many brilliant minds as they do on the other side, and our work is more refined, pure, if I might say, and we feel
easy.
We feel very strongly that the House position should be defended.
Well, I'm sure you do, Lloyd, because you want to spend $1.129 billion more than they do. By the way, we don't have any of that money yet. It's yet to come in. This is equivalent to thinking you're going to get a raise and then going out and buying a Mercedes. Actually, no, it would be more like buying a Tesla or a Porsche. Regardless, it's absolutely ridiculous. There's certainly a lot of stuff happening, even though we've only got one official week of the session left, and I'll make sure that I cover all of it. But for today's program, I have a great interview with Wyoming Republican Party National Committee man Corey Steinmetz. Even though we're all focused on a lot of stuff that's happening right here in the Cowboy State, it's important to also have an understanding of what's happening at the national level. And we'll do that next. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Morning Reload is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe something bigger, like a roping arena or a giant warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So give them a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One of the cool things they do is they pour concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside them and then pour the foundation on top of them. So that way, there's no possibility of water getting underneath your building and ruining the foundation. So if you want more details, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. If you're thinking about buying or selling a piece of property, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. And that agent is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. She's an expert in the real estate business. She's lived in Jackson for over 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market. From Devil's Tower all the way to the Tetons, from Yellowstone National Park down here to the Middle Swamp. If you've got a real estate deal going on, you need Rebecca Bextel on your side. So give her a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. One more time. That's 307-699-3519. And now, back to our program. So I sat down with Corey Steinmetz to get a view of what's happening at the RNC. Here's our discussion. Joining me on the program is Corey Steinmetz. Corey is the Wyoming Republican Party's National Committee Man. Welcome to Cowboy State Politics, Corey.
Thanks, David. It's good to be here.
Yeah, first time on the program, right?
It is, yes.
What I wanted to talk to you about, Corey, is what's happening at the top levels of the RNC. You're one of the guys that you're there, and so I thought, you know, since we focus on state politics so often during the session, it might be good to get sort of a view of what's going on at the national scene. So I guess first, why don't you just tell us in your own words, what do you think is happening?
Well, yeah, there is a lot going on at the national level. There's no question about that. We have seen a move by former President Trump to work with RNC leadership, and essentially, he's brought in his pick for replacing Ronna McDaniel. Now, I don't know how that happened. I don't know a whole lot about the conversation that he had with Rana, but he definitely had a plan in mind to remake the RNC. And I think probably one of the main reasons why, if I can indulge a little bit on that.
Yeah, please.
Is the financial situation. So if you look at 2020 and probably back to 2016 as well, but 2020 at this time, we had about $60 million in the bank. The RNC did.
Now, is that a big amount or is that a little amount for the RNC?
It's a huge amount.
Okay.
And we had broken all kinds of records. We had far more money than the Democrats did. And so you look at today's picture, and as I understand it, we're sitting on about $8 million.
Ooh.
And we've opened a $5 million line of credit with the assurance that it'll only be tapped if we have to get into it. And I guess the reasoning for that is a lot of times in the campaign season, when you first launch your campaign efforts, which you know typically is going to be officially as we name the who our nominee is at national convention, there's going to be a big blast of money going out. So they theorize that a lot more money will come in throughout the course of the campaign prior to the general election. So you've got a time span where money comes in, but you have a huge expenditure right at the front. So that's what was explained to us. And I think President Trump, rightly so, looks at that and says, you know, you're sitting on fumes, and you see a chairman who seems to think that money is just free. You know, we can just do whatever we want with it. I think he saw that there was a need for a change in leadership.
Do you think that Ronna McDaniel has been effective as the RNC chair?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at the election results. You know, we've failed. We've not succeeded. And I think that answers the question right there.
Well, there's been certainly in the last election, and I'm not involved in the RNC, but you look, just looking at everything, it should have been, you know, Republican win after Republican win after Republican win. I mean, everything that the Democrats are doing to the entire country, it should have been a slam dunk. And when the election results came in, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah, there's no question. And it's frustrating to all of us. You know, we spend a lot of our own resources and, of course, our time to be involved in these RNC functions and RNC meetings. And we were set up to sweep. We should have picked up 20, 30 seats where we picked up 5 or 10. And I think the biggest fear going forward is, are we going to be able to do that? Are we going to be able to succeed going forward? And all you have to do, in my opinion, looking back at leadership, is take a look at what we've not done. And number one is, we've not, as a body, held anyone accountable in D.C.
You know, nobody.
A lot of these issues that come up that the president, the current resident in D.C. is doing, we should be barking. We have a very loud megaphone, and we should be, but we're not. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. Shouldn't say hugest. That's a huge issue.
Why do you think that Ronna McDaniel and everybody at the top isn't screaming their lungs out about what Joe Biden's doing to us?
Well, that's a good question, but I think it usually always comes back to money.
Like, my main question is, you know, Ronna McDaniel was on TV like all the time. You know, you turn on Fox News, there she is. And I very rarely saw any pushback to what Chuck Schumer is trying to do in the Senate, to what Mitch McConnell is not doing. The House, that's kind of a different critter altogether. But it doesn't seem to me like that the messaging game is on point. It doesn't seem like the RNC really is that much behind former President Trump. I mean, it just seems to me like they're not firing on any cylinders at all.
Yeah, we could sure use a pretty good mechanic to work on this, but there's no question that leadership has been lacking. I mean, you can look at our RNC meetings, and I've said this before. We go in there, and it's top down. We're essentially a rubber stamp committee, so we're spending $1,500 to $2,000 a meeting to go in there and rubber stamp what she and her people are putting forth and saying these are going to be the initiatives. When you look at the programs that they've thrown at us, like this GROW program,
What is that?
It was designed to Growing Republican Organizations to Win is what it stands for. And it was designed to increase your state party presence and recruit Republicans, of course, to be involved, to get out and vote. And we went pretty hard after that in 2020. And it seemed like the goalposts kept moving. So every time we'd get where we thought, okay, we're in line for a $50,000 transfer from the RNC to the Wyoming GOP. And you know as well as anybody, we could have used that money.
Oh, man.
And the goalposts just kept moving. So you had these programs designed for large states that they try to retrofit into Wyoming. And I mean, we've got what we've got. We've got about 200, 220,000 registered Republicans out of 580,000 people. You know, what we have to do is wake up to people that are not involved. And none of these programs essentially had any kind of mechanism to do that. How do you do that? You do that by being on point. You do that by messaging. You do that by making sure that those elected to represent you are doing the things they promised to do and standing firm with our platform. And so that's where the RNC has failed.
Interestingly enough, I was talking with Mike Yen yesterday. Mike Yen is the minority floor leader. So he's the head Democrat in the House. And the topic of conversation was, would it benefit both parties if you had a stronger Democrat party in the state? And I absolutely think that it would. And he made the comment that, well, we're working really hard on voter registration. And you made the point that when you look at the state, you've got 580,000 people. Probably a little bit less than three quarters of them are eligible to vote, but only half of those are registered. And when you look at the voting returns, it's only half of those that actually get out and vote. And you know, from my perspective, one of the big problems that the Republican Party has in Wyoming is just getting people registered and getting them out to vote. And you can't do that without cash.
Yeah, yeah. David Holland famously says that money is the mother's milk of politics. Mm-hmm. And you have Absolutely. To have that. And nothing is free. Messaging takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. But we do need money. We do need to raise funds. And you can't be wasting money on lawfare. I mean, you can't be wasting money defending yourself for doing the right thing just because somebody didn't like what you did, so they go and file a lawsuit.
Well, that was, you know, for the past couple of years, that's been the biggest problem in Wyoming. Yeah. I mean, all of these ridiculous lawsuits that, I mean, in the end, they really didn't have any merit anyway. And I think when they were filed, you know, the one that I always think about is the Tom Lubnow, Eric Barlow, that dumb lawsuit. But, you know, in the end, it just cost us a lot of money and a lot of time. But the interesting thing, Corey, is that even though there wasn't a red wave nationally, there was in Wyoming. I mean, Absolutely. We put 16 solid conservatives in the House. And if you look at, you know, we made a few gains in the Senate. But if you look at how this session has gone, I mean, the Senate is way more conservative than the House. And even though you've got, well, it depends on the vote, but anywhere from 22 to 26, 27 conservative votes in the House. So we did have a red wave here, but we're still so far behind that, you know, unless we pick up, I don't know, six or eight more seats, you know, conservatives aren't going to take power in the House. Now, the Senate, that might be a different story. It's everything is completely backwards this session for me.
Yeah.
So if Ronna McDaniel is out as the RNC chairman, who do you think will be the next in line?
Well, President Trump made his pick of Michael Whatley, who's the current North Carolina State Party chairman and also RNC legal counsel. But he also named a couple other people, his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump. And to my knowledge, she doesn't have a lot of experience with the party, but she's obviously a Trump, obviously understands the importance of raising money. And from what a lot of my colleagues on the RNC have been saying, she's doing a great job in the interviews. She's referring to if I'm elected, which is a great, great place to be in. And so he also named what he called a chief operating officer, Chris La Civita.
Okay. I'm not familiar with him.
You want to look at him. Google him. There's a lot of information out there. He's a former Marine. He got involved in politics about 20 years ago. And I guess to say a lot of the credit for defeating John Kerry some years ago really goes to Chris La Civita. He knows how to get things done. He's a fighter, just like Donald Trump. So he's somebody that I don't really know what his role in the RNC would be. We don't effectively have a COO position, but I'm sure that that's going to get figured out. Altogether, that team, I think, could do some really good things. Michael Whatley was the first person that I met when I got onto the RNC. I actually met him in the elevator. And so we actually have talked. We talk at every meeting. I think he's a pretty solid guy. And he's been contacting a lot of our colleagues and saying, look, I'm not Rana 2.0. There's a lot of things that are going to change, and we're going to get this ship righted. So I think collectively there's a lot of hope that he'll do that. And
So what do you think the impact for the Wyoming GOP will be? If we get rid of Rana, we get Whatley in there, how do you think that's going to work for our state?
I think for our state, it's going to make a big difference. You know, he's the kind of guy that I can sit down and talk with and say, look, here's what we're facing. And he's going to have some ways and some ideas of how we can approach some issues. Probably the biggest thing that we need from the RNC, obviously, is help in fundraising. But also, we need that leadership that is going to help us with any of these legal issues that come up. You know, Michael is an attorney. Being on the RNC legal, being that lead person, he's got some experience dealing with lawfare. So if we have that issue coming up again in the future, I think we'll have a very strong person there who will listen to us and work with us.
Was there any recognition about how Wyoming performed in the last election, those 16 conservatives? What I'm getting at is in a lot of states, if we pick up one Republican or two Republicans or three Republicans, that's a good day. But Wyoming, we put 16 solid conservative Republicans in office, at least in the House, and we added a couple in the Senate. So really, the way that I look at it is they should be listening to us, not the reverse.
Right.
You know, we did a bang-up job in the last election, and, well, everybody else kind of didn't. The red wave, what I'm saying, Corey, is the red wave happened in Wyoming. It didn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah. And as far as recognition, no. The way they look at it is we have a Republican supermajority. Essentially, every elected office in most counties is held by Republicans.
Right.
And so, really, they just look at us as reliably red, a Republican state. And so, no, there was not. And really, to a lot of those folks, we don't matter. You know, our 500,000-600,000 population here, we don't matter.
Well, we've only got one electoral vote, or three electoral votes.
Right.
You know, one representative. Sorry, I'm still stuck on Liz a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. Where we matter, I think the most, is at the national convention where we have 29 delegates, which is more than 13 other states have.
Okay. So we've talked a little bit about national politics. Let's talk state politics for a minute. What do you see as the big challenges coming into the 2024 election for Wyoming Republicans?
Unity is something we keep hearing, but
from the other side.
Right. I think the biggest challenge is simply going to be getting people out to vote. When you have the presidential nomination process through the caucus and through the convention, you don't have that draw in the primary. And so our candidates that are running either to unseat Democrats or try to bring better representation for their counties, for their districts, they're going to have to get the vote out. And so the biggest challenge is going to be motivating the voters. So messaging is going to be a huge key.
How expensive do you think the 2024 election is going to be in Wyoming?
It's going to probably break all the records. You know, if you look at in the past when somebody spent $20,000 on a House or state Senate race, that was a big number. And I remember my wife when she first ran in 2014, actually that was her second run. I think we spent $17,000, and that was a pretty large number. But take a look at Ken Pendergrass' race.
Woo!
You know, what did he spend? Was it 10 or 13,000?
He spent, I'd have to ask him, but he spent right around $12,000, somewhere around there. The interesting point about that is what his opponent spent.
Right. Yep.
If you go all the way through the general election, they dumped $90,000 into that race to beat Ken.
Yeah. And
so, I mean, I think this time around, pretty much every race that they're trying to defend, and I would think they'd probably defend most of them, it's going to be hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind.
Corey, thank you for taking the time to visit with me. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
So my email is committeeman@wyoming.gop, or they can reach me on my cell, 307-534-5870.
Well, I'll give you the last word. If there's anything you want to tell my listeners, go right for it.
You know, I just for one appreciate what you're doing. Number one, it's new to Wyoming. It's been a tremendous hit, but we're getting information out there that a lot of voters don't have. And so this podcast has been very effective, and I think you've received a lot of fanfare for that. And I just appreciate what you're doing. The launch of the new network is exciting. Can't wait to see what you guys do next.
It's going to be fun, man.
It is.
Well, thanks, Corey.
Yep, thanks, David.
That'll about do it for today's installment of the program. There's still a lot more that's happening in the Wyoming legislature, even though we've only got about 1 week left, or one official week left. There's been some rumors flying around that they're going to gavel out on Wednesday, and it's going to require a special session. I don't have an official on that yet, but when I do, I'll make sure I let you know about it. Also, there's a lot of stuff happening with a number of gun bills in the House of Representatives. One thing that I can already tell you this morning is that on Senate File 105, which was heard in the House Judiciary Committee this morning, Mark Jennings ran an amendment to put some significant criminal penalties in there for credit card companies that track where you spend your money on guns and ammo. Barry Crago spoke against that penalty and voted against it. Let me repeat that. Barry Crago voted against penalties for credit card companies that track your gun and ammunition purchases. This is absolutely outrageous, my friends. The bill passed the Judiciary Committee, so there's still some possibility of putting that criminal penalty in on the House floor. But for right now, all you need to know is that Johnson and Sheridan County Representative Barry Crago voted against penalties for credit card companies that track your gun and ammunition purchases. You can absolutely be sure that he'll have some shyster lawyer bullcrap excuse for his vote. But go back and watch the committee meeting for yourself. He spoke on it, and then he voted against the penalty. The funny part is that he had a similar bill that failed introduction, and his was even more toothless than the one that passed the Judiciary Committee. I can't think of a single reason why anyone would vote for this guy ever again. As if you didn't have a litany of other reasons not to vote for him. Anyhow, that'll do it for this morning's program. Have a good week, and we'll probably talk again tomorrow. But for now, from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.